a message from God's word with you. As we know in David's life, he had many, many big days. And I think in chapter 9, in 2 Samuel, we're going to see this is just another one of these big days for him. As we look just at a few of David's days, some of the big ones were probably when, a big one was when Saul anointed David to be God's anointed when he was a little shepherd boy. That was a huge day in David's life. Another day was when he slew the giant Goliath. We had our VBS theme on that, and Brian was able to share the story of David Goliath right here in our back room in our fellowship hall. And what a story that was, that David did that to save. Another day is the day that his son Solomon was anointed king. That would be a very, very big day. Another one was kind of harsh, but the day that Saul died. Because now that meant David was going to be the king. And then another one is the day that he brought the ark back to the ark of God back to Jerusalem. Now he had some struggles with that, but he got it there. They finally went back and read to see how to move the ark correctly. But you know that was a big thing. He got the ark of God into Jerusalem, into the capital. And then I think another big day for David was the day that he proposed in his heart to build God a house. In his heart, he wants to do that. God said no, but what I'll let you do is I will let you gather all the materials for that. You will get everything in place for that, but you won't do that. But God, but David, in his heart, he wanted to do that. He wanted to do that for God. And those are just a few of the big days, I think, in David's life. And, and this morning, in chapter 9, I think we're going to look at another one. And this is a day that I believe kind of shadows for us. God is working through David to show us how it's going to be when David is now the king and Mephibosheth is coming before his king at this time. God is our heavenly king. He's our heavenly father. And there's going to be a day when we come before God. And we're going to see what usually happened back then in those times when you came before the king and you were from the lineage of another king before that. And so in chapter 9, this records the story of David and Mephibosheth. Now Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan, and Jonathan was the son of Saul. So according to the customs of that day, when a new king came in and took over the throne, all the other ancestors, They were executed. There was not going to be a threat to that king's throne. They were to make sure that that was done with. And so, on the day that Saul and Jonathan were killed in the same battle, Jonathan's son Mephibosheth was still alive. Now Mephibosheth was about 5 years old when Jonathan had died, and many years have passed now, because now, as we have just read, Mephibosheth now has a son. So there has been some time here that has lasted. And so in 2 Samuel, we're going to get the story of the first time where Mephibosheth is going to come before David, and David will actually see Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. And we know the relationship with Jonathan and David was a very special relationship. They had a love for each other more than surpassed a love for a man and a woman, as Scripture tells us. So it's a very deep relationship that they had. So just to start us off, it says, David asked, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, I'll read verses 1 through 4, it says, David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." So here we see that Ziba knows of he was a servant of Saul, so he knew that Jonathan had a son. But also Saul had other descendants. They're mentioned in 2 Samuel 21. But Ziba, in his wisdom, knew David's not interested in them. He's interested in Mephibosheth. So he tells him where Mephibosheth is. So then in verses 5 and 6, it says, so King David had him brought in from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth. So here, I think everybody in Mephibosheth's family, everyone in the king's court, when David had summoned for Mephibosheth to come before him, they were just thinking, he's going to be executed. And at that time, he justly could have been by David. And we see that when Mephibosheth comes before him, he bows down, he pays him honor. I'm sure he was scared. He thought, this is going to be it. But as we read on in chapter 7, it says, don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belongs to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. So here we see that David quickly puts him at ease. He doesn't want him to be fretting anymore. And he tells him the reason why he brought him here before him. And that's, I'm going to restore everything for your grandpa. I'm going to give that back to you. And so I also tell them that you're going to sit at my table. You're going to be as if you were one of my sons. And then in verse 8 it says, Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? So Mephibosheth understands if there had been another king on that throne, he would have been executed. And he's looking at himself and he's just like, why do I deserve all this kindness? Why would you do this for me? And we will get into this. We'll get into that. So in verses 9 and 10, it says, then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and to bring in the crops so that your master's grandson will be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. So the property in the land of Saul was turned back over to Mephibosheth. It rightly belonged to him, and David made sure that he got it. And then in verses 11 through 13, it says, then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever the Lord the king commands his servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was lame in both feet. So here, I think through this story, we can pick out three big spiritual lessons for us. And first, I think, as children of God, here's Mephibosheth coming before the king. Just as we are children of God, as we come before our King in heaven, we're going to realize that our sins cripple us in God's sight. When we come before God, we're crippled before His sight because of our sins. Our sins separate us from Him. And in Romans 3, verses 10 through 16, Paul tells us about our nature. It says, it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their way. So, again, our sinful nature, our sins, they make us like dead dogs before God. We will know that. We'll understand that when we come in His presence. The second thing is, that I think we can pick out of this, is David extends kindness to Mephibosheth for the sake of Jonathan. See, David didn't know Mephibosheth, but he knew Jonathan, and they had made a commitment. When Mephibosheth came before David, David didn't see a crippled man. He saw Jonathan, one that he loved. And the kindness, mercy, and grace extended to a helpless person like Mephibosheth were for the sake of another. And now God has saved you and me because of the sake of another. And that other is Jesus Christ. When we come before God in our sinful way, in our manners, and we have been obedient to the gospel, we have been baptized into Christ, God is not going to see Chris or anyone else as a sinner. He's going to see Jesus Christ there. That's how we're going to be accepted as one of God's own. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, it says, "In him," which is Jesus, "we have redemption through blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." It's only through Jesus, just from what Peter said. It was only because of God. And the third thing is that David said nothing about the lame feet of Mephibosheth. He treated him like a prince. He actually sat at the king's table. He was treated like one of the king's own. And again, that's what God is going to do for us. See, David never mentioned anything about him being crippled. And God will not, when we're in his presence, he's not going to mention anything about our sins. Our sins have been washed away. In Hebrews, through Jesus, obviously. In Hebrews 10, verse 17, it says, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." We will be with our Heavenly Father, and we will be made pure and acceptable in his sight because of Jesus. And I think that's what Mephibosheth, I think God is showing us through David, through this action of Mephibosheth, of what's going to happen when we come before God. We're going to know we're unworthy, but it's going to be because of Jesus Christ. And because of Christ's sacrifice, we will be made clean, and we will have all the inheritance. We will be just as one of his own. Those are the three points I wanted to bring out in this lesson this morning. And obviously at the close of every lesson, we offer an invitation. And if you have noticed or you see that your sins are separating you from God, they are making you crippled in his sight, in your walk with him, Jesus is always sending out an invitation to us. He's pleading, "Please come to my table of salvation, and I will feed you, but just come as you are. There's no work you need to do. Jesus is willing to accept you the way that you are." And then when you come to him, we would love to share the gospel with you if you haven't heard that. There is, to come to the Lord's table, you have to hear the gospel. And the gospel in a nutshell is just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans 10:17, it says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." So we have to hear that message. And then once you hear it, you have to believe the message. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those earnestly who seek him." So we have to hear, we have to believe, and then you have to repent. In Acts 17, verse 30, it says, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." So we need to turn away from our sins. We need to turn away from those. Then you have to confess. In Matthew 10:32, it says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." So we need to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then we need to be baptized. In Acts 22:16, it says, And now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. So this morning, again, we'd like to offer an invitation to you. If you haven't heard the gospel, or maybe you have heard the gospel, and today you've decided, "This is the day I want to commit my life to Jesus and take him on as my Lord and Savior," we are here to do that for you, to do that with you. Or also, if there's any other prayer requests you might have or any other needs you have, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation.